and welcome to another episode of the Wet Sox Snow Skate Podcast. I'm Eric Frick here with Andrew Nelson, and today we have an OG of snow skating and one of my favorite 360 flippers, Max Hilty. Max, what's going on, bud?
Not much, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Thank you so much for joining today. Super hyped to have you. You are a legend in snow skating.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. It's great to be here and awesome to hear that you guys are doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
We were talking about it before. You're our first premier pro model interview that we've had. So.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
One of the rare snow skaters to have the elusive pro model on Premier Snow Skates. Yeah. That's a big achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was definitely one of my proudest moments in my snow skating career, and pretty crazy looking back on it that I was able to accomplish that at such a young age, and just to have a pro model in anything is just incredible.
For sure, man. It's the dream, and the boards are sick too. We actually got it pulled up on some janky looking website right now. We're looking at the model with the eye on the bottom and like the blue drip like name on the top on the grip tape. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, so that was actually my last pro model, and that's actually my artwork. I actually
drew
that one myself.
That's sick. Cool.
That one was kind of after a couple years of not really getting any input on the previous model. I just sent them over a sketch, and they just ended up using it. So,
cool.
I was pretty proud on that one for sure.
Sick, because this was the 07-08 one we're looking at with the eye on the bottom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Was my last board.
Sick. And then the year before was like that. It was like the watercolor blue and yellow and pink graphic, correct?
I think actually I had a board with a dragon on it in between those two, but
okay.
I think the watercolor one. That was the year that I actually had no input whatsoever. There was kind of a miscommunication on, I don't know whose end, but they ended up producing that board without giving me any insight until like I showed up at X Games one year and they had all these promotional packets printed out. And I was like, looks like you guys picked something. And they're like, yeah, what do you think? And I was like, I couldn't really hide my disappointment. I was trying to be nice about it, but I was definitely a little disappointed.
Right.
I had that board. I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I had a...
I mean, I repped it proudly, but yeah. At first, I was like, I kind of wouldn't have gone this direction, but it was all good.
Yeah, one of my buddies had it too, and I thought it was a cool board. I mean, I guess it didn't really, have anything to do with you on it, and it kind of functioned just as a blank, having just like a whatever graphic on the bottom with no like real objects. And I guess now we know no input from you, but it's still cool.
Yeah, for sure. That was kind of a transitional period, kind of after Andy had gotten out of the company, and Michelle, who took over, who I really enjoyed, but she, I don't think Isaac had any input on his as well. We just kind of, I think they went with a theme, and that was kind of like the watercolor theme.
Sure.
Year. But
sure,
it was all good. I was still happy to have one and wrote it proudly for sure.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we'll touch on this as we get a bit later into the episode, but let's back up and talk about how you first got into snow skating in the days of Premier when Andy Wolf was a part of the company.
Yeah, definitely. I first started hearing about snow skating, I think it was like winter of 2001, 2002, and I was 11 years old at the time.
Mm.
And back then, Premier actually used to promote in both Transworld snowboarding and skateboarding.
Mm.
And I started seeing these ads for these snow skates, and I was like, so intrigued right from the get-go. And, it was like the days when they had all the pro snowboarders and skateboarders on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up asking for a snow skate for Christmas, and I was like super excited. Christmas Day, I was like super pumped because my parents are awesome. I knew they were going to get me what I wanted. And then I remember going downstairs, seeing the presents out there, and I immediately saw what looked like a snow skate, but I ended up opening it up, and it was actually a Bi-Deck from Burton.
Oh.
And my mom must have gone in the ski shop, because at that time there was like a bunch of companies doing snow skates, like Santa Cruz had a board, and World Industries had some boards. Burton had some boards, obviously. So yeah, I ended up getting that Bi-Deck, and I was a little disappointed because I wanted that Premier.
Right.
But I started messing around with the buy deck a little bit. And then about a month later, X Games happened for the first time at Aspen.
Okay.
And I showed up, and they actually had a park there. I had no idea that Premier had set up a park that year.
Hmm.
But this was like my first exposure to actual seeing single decks in person. And it was the first year that they hosted the X Games at Aspen. And it was also the first year that there was a snowscape park in general. And yeah, they had like all the boards. They had the old TL6 model and like the Nico Droz pro model. JP Walker had a pro model. And so they had all these demo snowskates. And as long as you know got your parent to sign the waiver, you could try them out.
Sure.
And that was actually the first time I tried snow skating.
Okay. And at this time, I know that you were really young, but did they have members of the team like actually snow skating the park, or was it just whoever riding? Because it was, you know, like you said, it was all snowboarders and skateboarders who were riding for Premier at this time.
Yeah. So they had both.
Okay.
They had like open sessions where like kids could just go out and try them. And then they also had demos with the pro riders. And a lot of those guys were already there competing in like the snowboarding events.
Okay.
So it was like, it was crazy as an 11-year-old to be there and see like JP Walker and Top Richards and Nico Droz and all those guys were there.
Okay.
And they were filming, and they were, you know, at the time it was a bunch of ride-on features and like maybe a little gap on box, but like I was just blown away just watching these guys that like I already kind of idolized as snowboarders, but to see them actually snow skating was amazing.
Right. So you didn't bring the buy deck to this event, but I assume that you used one of the demo single decks at this point, and there's probably no going back from there, right?
Oh, for sure. I felt like way more comfortable on it and just was having so much fun right out of the gate. And, you know, as an 11-year-old, like, I was just, like, trying to see who was running the show. And that's when I found out that Andy Wolf was the guy who owned the company.
Mm.
And I immediately started, you know, bothering him, asking him tons of questions, just like this little shit, just like asking, you know, how do I get sponsored? How do I do this? How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And he was super nice, but he was also like, you know, like just kind of like probably a little bit annoyed with me. But
sure.
Yeah, as the week progressed, I was there every day, man. I was like, I didn't care about any of the events. I was just trying to ride the snow skates and, you know, talk to the riders and just like, it was awesome. And then the craziest thing happened on the last day. They had like a competition / demo. And,
okay.
I think a lot of the footage that they shot actually ended up in Dream was, I think, that video the next year.
Mm.
But during this competition, all those guys I had already mentioned were there. But then also, I remember that like a couple of the X Games riders, like Ryan Deegan was there.
Wow.
Sean White was there.
Ooh.
And even Tony Hawk showed up.
Holy cow.
Snow skating, which was insane.
That is wild.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. So like, I don't even, because at that time, they didn't sponsor just pure snow skaters. And like,
right.
So there was no team members other than those snowboarders. But like, yeah, just to see Tony Hawk and Sean White, like, shredding on snow skates was just absolutely insane.
That's insane. Like I had no idea that either of those, like, you know, Sean or Tony had set foot on a snow skate. And I know that Tony Hawk actually likes snow skating. Going up to the Ambition Sava release, Tony Hawk was actually sharing the Instagram videos of like the Sava promos and stuff on Instagram, which was amazing.
Very cool.
But I had no idea that he had actually ridden a snow skate, and maybe that's what like got him into it.
Yeah, and like it was weird because like that you would have thought that, you know, the filmer that was there would have tried to get a shot for the video part. But
oh,
like,
totally, yeah.
He none of the footage made it, and he wasn't really like hitting the park super hard, but he definitely got on the board and he was hitting the box and hitting this ride on rail.
Wow,
kind of like hanging out at the top, and I was just blown away. And like there was a big crowd, and like everybody was super hyped on it, and. Yeah, I think that in Dream, you actually see some clips of like the crowd just going wild, and like I was blown away.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah, that was my introduction to snow skating. You know? Seeing all these legendary skateboarders and snowboarders trying it out, and then like, I was so hooked. And then at the very end of the day, I went up to Andy one more time just to, you know,
just to bug him a little more.
Yeah, just to like bug him one more time. And like, I was just thanking him for bringing the snow skate park, telling him how cool I thought snow skating was. Like, asked him for probably the 100th time how to get sponsored. He ended up actually giving me a Nico Droz pro model.
Oh, wow.
He was like, hey, man, like, you seem super enthusiastic about snow skating or whatever he said, but he's like, here's a board for you. Like, go home, film, send me a sponsor me tape. And like, if you're good enough, like, I'll put you on the team. Or he said something like that. And I was just like, oh my God. So I was just like, so blown away. So like, so stoked on the whole situation. And I took that Nico Droz snow skate and I went home and set up a park in my backyard. And I just started shredding and started filming.
What an amazing start to getting into snow skating. I mean, seeing Shaun White and Tony Hawk on a snow skate. I mean, can you imagine like being able to go back in time and see not even like, you know, Tony and Shaun, but to see Andy Wolf running Premier and like an 11-year-old Max Hilty riding an X Games park, like that would be nuts. But at the same time, X Games is only a few days, right? So you, within just like a few days of riding a single deck snow skate, you essentially get sponsored.
Yeah, so I didn't get sponsored right away, but he must have seen that like I had some ability, or maybe he was just like, this kid's annoyed me so much over the past 4 days, I just gotta give him a board to shut up. But whatever it was, yeah, he was super nice to me, and he gave me that board. And it's actually very interesting because, like, in addition to just seeing like all these amazing riders and just that entire X Games experience, snow skating was actually already at a point where there was a lot of parks at ski resorts, especially in Colorado. And this was all Andy's doing. I learned later, and it was kind of like one of the first things he did to really promote the sport. But he would reach out to ski mountains and, you know, ask what it would take to set up a little snow skate park. And I was lucky enough that two mountains within like 20 minutes of my house had snow skate parks set up. So once I got that flat deck, I went to those parks and I just started, like, you know, every day after snowboarding, or sometimes I would just show up to the mountain just to snow skate, and I would just hit the park for hours.
Wow.
Just, that's where I started learning tricks. That's where I started filming for my sponsor me tape. And I was super lucky that I had those resources available, for sure.
That's amazing.
Now, going back, what year would have that been when that X Games?
So this happened in January of 2002.
Okay.
I was 11, and that was, the first year they ever hosted it at Aspen.
Right, and it was as an exhibition sport, is that correct?
Yes. This was, the first year they ever had a park there. And I was there for all the X Games snow skate parks. And honestly, like, that first year, even though the park wasn't as good as maybe some of the later parks, the energy and like the intrigue and enthusiasm with the crowds and like those demos they were putting on, like, that was one of the more incredible snow skate experiences at X Games, for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. And when you mentioned that Andy Wolf was calling these resorts and asking what it would take to set up snow skate parks, do you know how he was actually going about like having those made? Like, was he like paying these resorts or something to be like, hey, just, you know, throw a couple ramps and rails and boxes or whatever to the side over here and, you know, call it a snow skate park? Or do you have any idea what, like, how that happened?
I learned more about it later on once I got on the team and stuff and started getting to know Andy better. But, at a lot of the first parks, he would actually tell them, you know, if you set up a small scale snowboard park, I think he was actually like sending or emailing pictures or whatever of like little snow skate features that he'd already set up at Mount Hood or what, and, you know, different spots. And he was telling these ski resorts that he would send them like 50 demo boards or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So at a lot of them, they would actually have Premier snow skates there.
Sure.
And as long as you signed a waiver, just like the X Games, you could rent these snow skates. So that's how it first started. And then eventually, he definitely wasn't sending snow skates to all the places, but, yeah, like my home mountain Snowmass, where I filmed my entire snow skate part or sponsor me part. He, yeah, there was some Premier boards already there to use. So it was pretty smart on his behalf to set that up. And, it seemed like these resorts were pretty willing to set these parks up, which was very cool.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty amazing marketing ploy by Andy to basically try and create an army of young snow skaters by putting the parks into place and then sending demo boards for rent at these resorts. I mean, that's a genius.
Yeah, because he was so motivated back then, and he was like, yeah, he was doing all sorts of stuff to get the name out there and get the sport out there. And yeah, that was one of his things that he really focused on, because he was like, if I can get places where people can actually try these boards, like the likelihood that they're going to go buy one is, you know, going to go up tremendously.
Right. So you mentioned filming for the Sponsor Me tape, and you're only, you know, 11, 12, if we're talking about the next year. What happened with filming that Sponsor Me tape, and like what happened when you sent it to Andy?
So I spent the next couple months, because I got my first that board from him in January of 2002, and I filmed that whole winter at that park and kind of like some features I had in my backyard, and then I sent it in to him. And I just remember like distinctly getting home from school every day and like checking my email, seeing if somebody contacted me about it. And right before my 12th birthday, I actually got an email from him that said, you know, I looked at your tape, like I remember you from the X Games, like you seem so about it, and like I liked your stuff, like I'm putting you on the AM team.
Wow.
And I was just blown away, because that was like maybe 3.5 months after I first stepped on a single deck.
That's wild. Wild.
So I had a pretty unique timeline for getting into snow skating, getting sponsored for sure.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, it can be a long process.
It
happened super quick for me, which was incredible, and just kind of like I was in shock, to be honest.
I'm drawing parallels in my head between the plot of Tony Hawk Underground 1. Because it's almost the same. It's almost the same story.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Like I was blown away, and like the fact that it happened, you know, because like when he was telling me, you know, send the tape in and I'll check it out, like even as an 11-year-old, I was like trying to be realistic about it, and I did not think it was going to happen that fast for sure. So I was just incredibly like overcome with just excitement and gratitude, and it was awesome.
Now, you were skateboarding at that point too?
Yeah, I had gotten into skateboarding and snowboarding probably 2 years before that. I was definitely a more natural snowboarder than skateboarder. I was getting kind of like comfortable on the skateboard, but snowboarding, I was already not competing at that point, but just feeling very comfortable snowboarding. And that's kind of, you know, because back then snow skating was all about ride-on features and kind of mini snowboard parks, essentially. So I just kind of took my snowboarding skills and translated them over to snow skating pretty easily.
Gotcha. Hmm.
And yeah, you weren't sponsored in any of those other two regards.
No, I was so as an 11-year-old, I was like super outgoing, and like I would contact companies and like send them videos. Actually, I think probably getting sponsored by Premier a couple months after starting snow skating kind of like gave me this false confidence that I was going to be able to get sponsored in these other sports. So then like the next couple of years, as I got better, I was like reaching out to these skateboard companies and snowboard companies, and actually sending them snow skate footage and stuff as well, and just like pestering reps from Oakley and this and that, and like they would send me free stuff, but I was never officially sponsored for either skateboarding or snowboarding.
Gotcha.
Except for Universal Ramps, I guess I was on their skateboard team for a little bit.
But oh, cool.
That wasn't anything too crazy.
After you got on sort of Premier Am, did that really shift your focus away from the other two sports, or did you kind of try to maintain snow skating and skateboarding and snowboarding?
Well, I always enjoyed doing all of them, but as soon as I got sponsored by snow skating, by Premier, I was like all in on snow skating for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
For sure.
That's so cool. So walk us through what's going on. Is this when, so that would have been about 2003. So that next season, you start filming for parts, or what? Walk us through what happens next.
Well, the craziest thing is a couple of the clips that I sent in for my Sponsor Me tape actually ended up going into Premiere's video the next year.
Okay.
So that was like that was another thing that I did not expect when I was filming it. And so I just went back and watched it today. There's actually some, I think Zach has it on YouTube or something. Zach Gordon.
Yep.
He's like the snow skate historian, luckily.
Oh, totally.
He's got all the content that I've lost, unfortunately. But Dream video, there's a couple clips in there where it's like, those are like my first filming sessions ever. And I got a couple tricks in that video.
Wow.
Which was insane, because like that's back when JP Walker and Todd Richards and Mitch Nelson and Nico Droz were still filming parts.
Wow.
So to be in a video with them, I was like, I couldn't even believe it at that point. It was crazy.
Totally. Absolutely.
And so then actually that summer, so like 2 months after I first got sponsored by Premier, I ended up going to snowboard camp in Mount Hood.
Okay.
And I went to HCSC. And I met up with Andy out there because they had a snow skate park set up. And that was the first time I ever filmed with Andy.
Okay.
What was that like? We hear a lot about Andy Dunn. I was wondering if you had any fun stories about getting to know him.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it was such a funny dynamic because I had just turned 12. I hadn't even become close to hitting my growth spurt. I was like 5'2" or 5'3" or something like that. I looked like I was 10. And Andy's a pretty big guy, and like just me and him hanging out together filming and stuff, it was just like, I mean, we hit it off from the get-go, and he really took a liking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. It was a funny dynamic for sure. But that summer was the first time I got to know him a little bit better and got to hang out and film with him. And from there, the following winter, he was gracious enough to pay for me to go to a couple different other setups that he had going on that winter. And I mean, I was an AM rider. I wasn't even a pro rider at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But he must have just seen my enthusiasm, and just, I think his vision, he eventually told me his vision, but he wanted to transition away from the pro snowboarders and skateboarders to people that were just focused on snow skating.
Sure.
And I think he must have saw that I was fully committed, because he really kept me involved with everything that he was doing those next couple winters.
So you're so young at this point, and it sounds like Andy's taking you all over, starting in, Mount Hood out in Oregon, and then, traveling to these other resorts and events that he has going on. I mean, what were your parents saying at this time? Were they just like, yeah, go off, do your thing? Like, did they get it? Or were they like, who is this guy? What are you actually doing? Like, how much was it like cool, and how much was it like them being concerned?
I mean, it was kind of, I got it from both ends. My mom was like super supportive, and she just saw how much fun I was having. And
mm-hmm.
I think like, because back then I was like, Andy would call me and like we'd be talking on the phone and stuff, but he also knew that like him talking to a 12-year-old and stuff, like he was super down with talking to my parents, and like
sure
he would always like check in with my mom when he called me, so like she trusted him and like saw that it wasn't super sketchy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was definitely having some reservations. He was like what the hell is going on? Like, right. What are you doing? Like, he didn't get it at all. And at that point, I was also like, I was really into a bunch of other sports, and I had some opportunities in soccer. And he was like, he was really wanting me to focus on soccer at that point. And I was just having way more fun snow skating and skateboarding. So, like, he was a little resentful that I wasn't doing the kind of plan that he had put forth for me. But
sure.
My mom was fully supportive from day one. So that was awesome.
And no, that's amazing that at 12 years old that you have these opportunities presented to you, which is awesome in and of itself, but you're allowed to do it. Like, my parents are incredible, but I don't know if they would have let me do the same thing at 12 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So actually, like, now that I think about it, like, that first winter, you know, because, like, I was really lucky because the X Games was in my backyard, essentially.
So, right.
Like, all those X Games trips, like, that people had to fly across the country and from other countries, like, I was right there already. So that wasn't a problem. But, like, early on, my mom was super cool. And, like, if there was, you know, Mount Hood, or, you know, there was some other competitions in New Hampshire and stuff, she would actually fly out with me.
Oh, wow.
And then, once I was there, she would just let me do whatever I wanted, basically. But, yeah, she was super cool about it. And, like, yeah, she was, Andy was, like, he was charming her as well. So, like, it was totally fine. Meanwhile, my dad's like, yeah, he's just like, what the hell is snow skating? Like, what? Like, he did not get it at all. But I also, it was very strange because, like, even at 12 years old, like, I knew my dad, he probably had a vision of me getting a college scholarship and, you know, really following kind of his dream and with soccer. And I kind of made a point of, okay, if I'm going to be doing snow skating, like, I just got sponsored, I just got in the video, like, I just made it a point to, like, excel as much as I could and kind of put in super hard work to, like, show my dad, you know, like, this is legit.
And,
like,
sure.
I'm making myself, or making a name for myself on another avenue, but, like, it is legit. And, like, I was definitely trying to prove something to him for sure.
Right. Makes enough sense. So in the next phase of you being AM in what would be 2002 and 2003, and even going into the next season, what was that filming process like with Andy and what happened with that footage?
Well, that first summer when I filmed at Mount Hood with him, I think some of that footage ended up going into the next video. I think it was Turn It Out.
But okay.
There might have even been another video in between Dream and Turn It Out. I was trying to think back today, but that actually the winter after I got sponsored, Andy did not make it to the X Games, but they did have a park set up, and that was kind of a letdown because, you know, I was like, oh, I just got sponsored, like, coming from that first X Games experience where it was like the coolest thing in the world. I was like, I couldn't wait to get out there and be part of the team, you know, like, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get to go snow skate with JP Walker and Todd Richards. I'm like, this is going to be the coolest thing ever.
Right.
And, he ended up not even being able to go. So that first winter I was sponsored, X Games didn't go down, and he was kind of telling me that, like, he was planning some other things and to get excited, but, like, he was apologetic that he wasn't going to make it. And then the following year is when he was, like, really flying me out to these different places, and he was planning the first U.S. Open of snow skating that happened the following summer. And at Mount Hood, he was there was a couple of different competition snowboarding competitions where he set up snow skate parks and he flew me out to. So that following year is when I really started filming a bunch and kind of getting exposed to these different demos and competitions around the country.
And that would have been 2003, 2004, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And I think the video between Turn It Out, what happened before that was Submission, I believe. That came out in 2004. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Turn It Out happened before Submission.
Okay.
Because Submission was the video that I first had my pro model.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I remember because, like, yeah, that was the one where they actually had my spider graphic.
Sure.
My opening thing. So
okay.
That was easy to keep track of that one. That must have been 2004, 2005.
Gotcha. Yeah, we need like Zach L. Warden sitting in the corner with like a buzzer like Kelly Hart to like chime in and be like, no, you got your dates wrong, guys. No, this is the video that came out at this time.
My dates might be a little bit off, but yeah, that I know for a fact that that 2003, 2004 season was when Andy was setting up these snow skate parks at these different events. One of the cooler ones ever that there's no footage. I don't know, maybe a couple clips that I filmed might have ended up in submission, but there was this, they used to host this ski and snowboard competition called the Next X.
Okay.
And it was basically the next generation of top skiers and top snowboarders. And they hosted it on NBC, and it was like a super big event. And it was in Keystone, Colorado. And Andy set up a snow skate park there. Starting, yeah, that 2003, 2004 winter. And that was the first time that I might have met Isaac at the X Games. That kind of happened back to back. But, like, that was the year that I first met Isaac. And it was just Isaac and I and Andy that went to this Next X competition.
Okay.
And I was just blown away with, like, the size of the snow skate park. And, like, once again, like, just the enthusiasm from like all the skiers and snowboarders that were there. Like it was a big event for them. And like these kids were like, couldn't wait to get over to the snow skate park.
Sick.
And like, this is when I really started to see Andy's vision coming to fruition and started to like see the potential in snow skating. Cause up to this point, everything he told me, he was following through with. And like, I was, you know, 12, 13 years old and I was just like blown away. And just getting completely caught up in this like whirlwind of like trying to make a name in snow skating and just like promoting it with him. And like, I was just sold. And yeah, so I told you that like he couldn't make it to X Games the 1 year after I got sponsored. But then the following year is when Isaac came out, Isaac Hebert. And I think Jordan Armstrong was there as well.
Okay.
And that's back. And that's when like the snow skate park was back and legit and like ready to go at X Games. So he took a little 1 year hiatus, but then he came back strong and like had all these things set up. That was like just awesome to be a part of.
For sure. Now, equipment wise, what did snow skating look like at this time? I mean, was this like snowboarders coming over and, you know, riding snow skates and snowboard boots? Or are you like trying to, you know, waterproof your skate shoes? Or are you trying to like put grip on the top? Because, I mean, we know how bad that original Premier grip was. I mean, what did this look like? And were you just okay with the boards at this time? Or are you guys trying to do stuff to sort of improve your riding conditions?
I was completely oblivious to how like difficult the riding circumstances were. Like I was just so happy to be having free snow skates sent to me that I wasn't complaining at all. And I wasn't even like, no, I wasn't trying to mess with my grip. I was just probably using regular skateboard shoes. But yeah, there was a lot of guys just in snowboard boots. Cause like I said, all these parks that were set up already at Colorado, like that was kind of what was happening is people would get done snowboarding and then they would come try snow skating.
Sure.
And they were just starting to make the first like wooden pro models.
Okay.
With like JP Walker and John Cardiel and those guys. And that definitely like had a impact on like what was possible from the plastics. But at the same time, like this was back before the Ollie On craze, and this was like ride on features, and like,
sure,
I was just making do with the plastic setup and my soggy wet skateboard shoes.
And mentioning that these, you know, parks are at resorts, were there leashes drilled into these snow skates, or was it just, you know, you hope you don't lose your board down the mountain, or was there like a fence at the bottom? Like, what did these parks look like in terms of, you know, losing your board and keeping it with you?
Well, the two parks that I filmed my sponsor me tape at and did the most riding at. They at Snowmass, Colorado, and Buttermilk, just like 20 minutes away from where I grew up. They both had like snow walls at the end. So okay. Like, if you fell, your board would just hit the wall.
Sure.
And then they had fencing as well.
Okay.
So there was no leashes, but yeah, they had it set up so the snow skates wouldn't go down and hit somebody.
Gotcha. And, yeah, I wanted to clarify that. I mean, I've gone to a resort without a leash before and a single deck, and it's terrifying. It's not fun.
It is for sure. But I mean, it was kind of a crazy time because like I was hearing about, you know, there was a bunch of these snow skate parks in Washington, and I think California had some, and Colorado had like 10 or 12 that had snow skate parks. So it was like, it was booming, and it was crazy because like just how I got introduced to snow skating at that initial X Games, like that was huge for so many people traveling to the X Games and seeing snow skating for the first time. The people that grew up here. I mean, snow skating was so popular in this valley. It was insane. Like everybody had snow skate parks in their backyard. Everybody was getting boards for Christmas every year. Like people were hyped. And I think Andy was really his marketing tactics and like setting up those parks and stuff. I think it was having a huge effect on, you know, board sales and just interest in general. So it was a pretty cool time to witness for sure.
Right.
Now at that time, I think the other thing with Andy's vision too is the online side of it. Were you involved in the Premier forums at all?
I was. I definitely was very active back in the day. That was a cool spot as well for, you know, snow skaters from all over the world to kind of connect and share some footage and share their ideas and stuff. So yeah, I was definitely pretty active on those original Premier forums for sure.
Yeah, that was a big deal back in the day. I mean, everybody that had any interest in snow skating, it seemed like they were there.
I know. It was such a close-knit community with like so much access. It was kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. Man, it'd be amazing if those still existed.
Yeah, I wish there was a cached version. I was just thinking that. Oh boy. But, all the dumb threads about like, yeah, you know, putting what to put on your snow skate for grip or how to fix base repair stuff, you know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was people that like you were asking me like experimenting with grip and stuff. I wish I would have done some of that, but I was just like, you know, whatever they sent me, I was riding and I was just happy to be a part of it.
Sure. Makes enough sense. Mm. So you mentioned in submission that was sort of the introduction of your pro model. So what led up to submission and getting your own pro model?
So at that 2003-2004 season is when I, like I said, I started going to all these different demos and parks that Andy had set up. And this is when I was getting even closer with Andy. And then at the same time, I was getting really close with Isaac Hebert. And he really took both of us under his wing. And this is kind of when he was starting to tell us, you know, I really like having these pro snowboarders and skateboarders. Like they've been a great, because, you know, that was his initial marketing tactic. Was like, if I can get these guys that everybody looks up to in these other sports to legitimize snow skating, then that would be huge. But eventually he wanted to transition to people that were just focused on solely snow skating.
Sure.
He started dropping hints left and right a little bit to me and Isaac, or to Isaac and I, but we were just, you know, happy to be involved. But he started telling us, you know, he was giving just like motivational hints a little bit here and there. And honestly, at that time, like once I saw Isaac in person, I was like, oh man, I don't know. This is a whole nother level of like snow skating. You know, I was purely a ride on, you know, more snowboarding style. And he was a machine.
Totally. He's a monster.
He was the original like innovator 100%. And like, I was just, you know, becoming friends with him and just seeing the things that he was doing. And like, he was all those, every time we went to Next X or, you know, the first X Games he came to, like he won every competition. It wasn't even close. But I actually got pretty lucky in a sense because I think I hit on it a little bit, but they had the U.S. Open of snow skating, and the first one they ever hosted was, I think, the summer of 2003.
Okay.
And that was at Mount Hood. And that was, like, to this day, probably the biggest snow skate park that's ever been set up.
Mm.
And they had some crazy sponsors like Red Bull and Etnies and, like, all these different companies. Like, Andy really, like, reached out to a ton of different people. And, like, Isaac and I went out there. I was 13 and Isaac was 14.
Mm.
And he ended up winning that first U.S. Open of snow skating. I think I came in like fifth or sixth. There was a lot of really good riders out there.
Yeah. Do you know, can you name names and like who else would have competed at that?
I think I know Jordan Armstrong was there and he did pretty well. I think some of those other kind of like premier guys, not the snowboarders, but like Nick Dirks. I guess he was a snowboarder too, but Nick Dirks was there. I don't know if Joel Maxey was there. There was like 50 riders.
Or wow.
Like crazy like that. And I wish I had the results. Like I used to have all these things saved, you know, archived on the Premier website and stuff, but I just lost track of all of them. But
sure.
I thought I did pretty well and I got like sixth or seventh place. So there was a lot of really good riders there, but Isaac was for sure the best. Like even at that time, it was apparent that like he was doing things that nobody else was. And then, so that was the first U.S. Open of snow skating. And then the following winter, Andy was hosting the second U.S. Open of snow skating. And that one happened at Loon Mountain in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And that was another incredible snow skate park. Just the sheer size of it. It was like, it looked like a snowboard park. And I remember showing up there. I was 14. And Isaac couldn't make the trip. Mm. So I was like, okay, maybe I have a shot at, you know, doing something. I wasn't expecting to win or anything, but I was like, well, if Isaac's not coming, like he, like first place would be open. So, I think I was listening to Matt Plays' episode and he touched on it a little bit. Cause that was the first time I met Matt and Jared.
Plays. Okay.
They were out there, but, yeah, that was winter of 2004 in Loon Mountain, and they ended up doing the competition at night, and it was like negative. I don't even know how cold it was. It was absolutely freezing. The snow was like ice. It was like the fastest, like craziest conditions ever. But that park was 100% set up to my skill set. It was like. Mm. It was the debut of like Andy had all these rails built. He had like an S rail and a flat or A frame rail and like universal ramps had a bunch of features out there, but it was really set up for ride on and kind of snowboard style, snow skating.
Sure.
So as soon as I saw the park, I was like, oh man, maybe I can do it this time. Like Isaac's not here. Maybe I can do something. And, the way they did it was like, 10-minute heats on each feature, and Andy was emceeing, and there was a huge crowd at night, lit up under the lights, and I ended up having probably the best competition I've ever had at snow skating, and I ended up, it was weird, like, I would get a couple tricks early on, you know, just to get comfortable on the features, and then, I was trying to land, like, a harder trick towards the end. And they had four different heats on four different features. And I think three of the heats, after Andy called last run for everybody, on three of the features, I landed my hardest trick on that last run. So I was like, I fed into the pressure and like, I was kind of going head to head with, like I said, that was the first time I met Matt Plays. And he was another incredible snow skater. And like, he was throwing down. Alex Crowcroft was there.
Mm.
There was a bunch of like impressive guys from, you know, the Northeast out there. And, but yeah, I think landing those three tricks right up the last run kind of did it for me and I ended up winning. And, it was the coolest night of my snow skating career for sure, because sick. I ended up winning that. And then afterwards, down at the bottom, Andy ended up coming up to me and he gave me like I think he gave me like seven $100 bills. No. he's like, just pulled out his wallet, just gave me like a bunch of hundos, and like gave me this big swag bag. And he was like, listen, it's like, Max, I need to talk to you for a second. And he like brought me to like, I don't know where we were, like kind of outside this restaurant after like the ceremony and then the award ceremony. And then he told me, he's like, you've been crushing it these past couple of years. Like you've been giving it your all, like you're so enthusiastic. And like, I just can see your dedication. And I just want to let you know, like I'm making you an Isaac Pro and you guys are getting your own pro models next year.
Wow.
And I was just like, absolutely blown away. It was like I said, probably the coolest day, night of my snow skating career for sure.
Absolutely. How do you beat that? I mean, you win a competition, yeah. A guy hands you a stack of $100 bills and you get a pro board. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. Just awesome.
Wow.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about like what we talked about it a little bit in the last one. But what is like the legal process of getting a pro model? Like, what was that like on Premier? Like, did you have to sign stuff and then you like license the use of your name and stuff like that?
For sure. So like that,
because you were a minor, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, I was trying to prove to my dad that like what I was doing was legit, mm-hmm. And that was the moment that I was like, okay, I can start showing him. Like they were sending over contracts that I had to sign.
Sure, yeah.
And like that's when I was like, "Look, Dad, like this is a real thing. Like I'm going to be making money off of this." And that was like the first time I actually thought he was going to be more excited, but he was kind of he was like, "I don't know." He just saw so much potential in my soccer career, and like he was just still holding on to that. But like he slowly came around. But yeah, the legal process was you had to sign a contract and. My parents had to sign it because I was a minor. Hmm. And that's when, you know, it was the details for the royalties on the boards. I was first exposed to that. But then that was also when there was all these sections in the contract, like, you know, if you appear in a magazine or you appear on TV and like, you know, you'll get this much money. If the logo is showing, you get this much money. And like it was a real... kind of like the first time that I saw like, oh, like I can actually make money at this. And at 14 years old, I was like, hell yeah, like this is incredible. Like I was just so ecstatic and it was amazing.
And that's so much more serious than it is even today. I mean, talking about being on TV and logo placement and stuff. I mean, it sounds like snow skating was way bigger back in the day, which you know, it may have been for a little bit, but still, I mean, that's orders of magnitude bigger than, you know, what we are in, you know, 2020, you know?
I know. And I feel like that was a direct correlation with what Andy was doing at the time, because he was, you know, he had already done this with all those previous pro snowboarders, you know, like those guys, mm-hmm. those guys were signing contracts for their boards and like, he had it down. I'll tell you a funny story. So this just made me think about it. Just all these the pro models and the guys who had pro models before me. I remember that first year I got sponsored. I told you I went out to Mount Hood that summer, and I was so excited because I knew there was going to be some of the guys on the team, like JP Walker and Todd Richards and those guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a 12-year-old, I was like. Oh my God, like I'm going to be able to tell them, like I'm on the team, like asking questions, this and that. And then I got out there and like the third day I was at camp, I saw JP Walker hanging out and he was like, I think he was like hitting on some girl or something. And I was coming up with a spiel in my head, like, yo, I know Andy Wolf, like I'm on the team. Like I thought we were going to hit it off. Like it was going to be like, you know, we were going to become friends. And I ended up walking up to him and I was like, introduced myself. I said, hey, I'm friends with Andy Wolf. Like, I just got on the Premier team. I just want to let you know, like, your board's my favorite board. And, like, I look forward, like, are you excited to film this year? I asked him, like, some question like that. And he just looked at me dead in the eye. And he goes, man, that's just a paycheck to me. He's like, I don't give a shit about that. Oh. I was like, oh, my God. I was, like, so embarrassed. Like, I was like, damn, like, that sucks. So, like, going back to it, like, I think that was kind of the mindset a lot of the snowboarders had towards snow skating.
So, sure.
That's why Andy really wanted to get like Isaac and me involved and like kind of try and switch it over. So like once he kind of got it to a certain level of popularity, like that's when he really wanted to get guys that were passionate about it, not that were just like, that's a paycheck, you know, like,
right.
I couldn't believe that. That interaction like kind of crushed me a little bit, but like that's kind of gave me an insight to why he was trying to like transition to Isaac and I.
Yeah, and it sucks, but I guess it makes enough sense. Like, if you're making a living as a pro snowboarder or a pro skateboarder, and, you know, somebody like Andy, like, you know, offers you money to do what, you know, maybe to them is like a sideshow type of thing. And, you know, are you going to turn it down? Probably not. But are you going to be into it? Yeah, also probably not, you know? Yeah, so it sucks. It makes enough sense. But yeah, to have them shoot you down like that, JP Walker of all people. Yeah, that had to have, that would have hurt. I would have been bummed.
I was just, you know, like I said, a little 12-year-old just like thought I was going to like hit it off with him. It was the exact opposite of what I expected.
Oh, that's tough. Ugh.
What, do you remember your first graphic, what that one was?
Yeah, so that was so immediately after the U.S. Open at Loon Mountain, Andy, you know, told me to start thinking about ideas for my board graphic. And yeah, that year was when Isaac and I had our first pro models, and he put us in contact with, I think it was like a tattoo artist that Andy knew or something, but like we would kind of just like tell him what we were thinking about, and then he would come up with a drawing and send it back to us. And it was a super cool process of, you know, really having input on what you like liked and making changes. And I don't know why I came up with a spider, but like something drew me to having a spider. And like, I think he, like, one of the first drawings he sent over to me, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. So I just signed off on that. And then, yeah, that was my first pro model back in 2004, 2005.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's wild. And you said you were making royalties off this too. I mean, I guess I don't want to ask, you know, too specific of details, but I mean, what kind of money are we talking here? Was this like, you know, just, you know, a couple pennies here and there, or was this big time money for like a 14-year-old?
Well, for a 14-year-old who hadn't made any money in his life, it was big money for sure. And I started, the boards were released that next winter, so I guess it would have been the 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. And I started getting checks in the mail every month for, you know, at first it was just a couple hundred dollars, but it got a little bit bigger than that. And like they were very consistent, and it was crazy to like see it come to fruition. And like to be actually receiving checks was just, it was mind blowing for sure.
Totally.
And for listeners, that's what, three or four years after you first step on a snow skate?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember your biggest premier check that you got?
So actually, that same winter, they had that Next X competition that I was telling you about. They did it again. And I actually ended up getting a clip on NBC.
Whoa.
with the Premier logo. And
no way.
I was like, they actually interviewed me, but I don't think they used my interview clip. They just showed some of my riding probably in between, you know, whatever the snowboard competition was that day.
But sure.
The Premier logo was shown, and I was on there for like 30 seconds or something like that.
Wow.
And I think I got, like, just for that, I got like $1,100 or something.
Wow. Like
that. And then I think maybe I got a check similar to that for one of the board sale months or something like that. But yeah, those were around that was probably the biggest single check I got.
Wow, that's crazy. But being on NBC, I mean, do you still have like a VHS tape? Like, did anyone record that? Do you still have it?
I'm actually very disappointed that I didn't like hold on to a lot of this stuff that like happened at that point. Cause I think there was a recording that I made, but I don't know where it's at all.
Gotcha. Oh man, and that would have been so cool to see.
I know. And I mean, that Next X experience, like I said, like you can't find anything online about it at all, but like Premier set up a park 2 years in a row. And that was probably like I said, just like the amount of enthusiasm that like the skiers and snowboarders showed to the park, and like the fact that NBC like sent their crew to come film there. And like, yeah, it was an incredible experience. And it really just kind of, like I said, it kind of cemented Andy's vision. And like, as a 14-year-old, I was like, I couldn't believe, you know, what had already happened up to that point. Like, I was getting those checks, and that like I had my pro model, and I was appearing on TV and stuff. It was like, you know, what else is possible? That's kind of how I viewed it.
Right.
And
yeah, that's crazy.
And then also a funny story. I think it was that. Yeah, I think it was that second. No, maybe it was the first Next X, but it was when Isaac and I and Andy were all like sharing a hotel room. And Andy went out one night, and he was out like super late partying, and he came back at like 3 a.m. or something like that, and he ended up waking up Isaac and I. And yeah, this was after we had our first pro model, but he came back, and he was like, he was just in full force, just like telling us all. He was just rattling off all these different things, but one of the things he said to us was like, he was like, you know, like, guys, if you stick with me, like, if you stick with Premier, like, this is how many boards we've sold this year compared to last year. Like, I've got, like, I like for sure in the next couple of years, like, people will be making six figures off their boards.
Whoa.
And Isaac and I were like, what? Like, I know you're drunk right now, but did you say six figures? Like, I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, he was just rattling. He was like, do you know how many of those satellite or those saucer sleds they sell? And I was like, no. He was like, this many. And he told us how much. And like, Isaac and I were just like, what? Well, I remember me and him were like blown away. So we were, and up to, like I said, up to that point, everything he had said came to fruition. So
sure.
Like, we were like, man, like, this is the real deal. So we were like, even that much more dedicated after that drunk tangent of what we could make down the road.
Right. Yeah, you had no reason not to believe him, but I mean,
ended up not being the case.
Yeah. There are no six-figure salaries in snow skating, unfortunately.
Not even close, but at the time, we're like, hey, you never know.
So this was 2004, 2005, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So Andy cashed out shortly after this, right?
Yeah. Pretty quickly after he was making those promises, he ended up disappearing. But that was kind of a blindside. You know, like I said, up to that point, everything he had said came together, and like there was no reason not to trust him. And I think he ended up selling it or getting out in, probably 2006. 2006 X Games was probably the first year that he was not involved.
Okay.
And I was really hurt by that, to be honest, because, like, not just because of the six figures tangent that he said, but just, like, up to that point, like, I had really established a really good relationship with him, and you know, he had done a lot for me and I'd done a lot for him, and same with Isaac. Like, we were just both so dedicated, so committed. That was definitely disheartening to hear that he had cashed out and got out of the game,
right?
And didn't really give us a heads up at all, unfortunately. But at the same time, I know other stuff was going on, and like, looking back on it, I understand. But it was kind of shitty that like I had spent so much, you know, time just promoting Premier and just like working my ass off. And I mean, I enjoyed every second of it, but like, it was kind of like, what's going to happen from here on out? And Yeah, it was kind of shitty for sure.
Right. So what did happen in terms of, you know, who was managing the team? You know, what were you hearing for direction of like videos? What was happening to your royalties? I mean, how did that whole experience of being on Premiere shift after Andy got out?
It changed pretty drastically. For the next couple years, like the X Games park was still set up, and like the lady who came and took over, Michelle Miller, I think was her last name. I mean, she had a background in snowboarding. I think she worked for a outerwear company. Don't quote me on that, but something in the business. And she was, you know, she seemed dedicated enough. So at first, seemed like a pretty smooth transition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the X Games was still happening. But the thing that I noticed the most was once Andy got out, two things. The involvement, like, with the company kind of changed. You know, like I said, that's kind of when I didn't have any input on my pro boards. And mm-hmm. I did have some input on, like, the direction of the company. But, like, Andy was really involving the team riders and mm-hmm. taking our input on everything, and really that was something that was kind of special. And then that kind of got lost a little bit. And then, so yeah, my involvement, and then also just the number of, you know, competitions and demos and things that Premiere was doing, like once the new regime took over, a lot of those things kind of dissipated and kind of went away. Like all these connections that Andy had established and all these, like the snowskate parks kind of went away, and like all the demo opportunities kind of went away. So it was just different. And, they did a good job. X Games was still awesome. That was a great experience for a couple years, but every year it kind of just got a little, I don't know, less involved, and kind of I saw it as less opportunity for growth for snow skating.
Sure. So were you still filming at this point? Like, were you, you know, even though everything is seemingly, you know, kind of falling apart, if you will, were you still trying to put footage together and put it toward, you know, whatever project may be next for Premiere?
I was still having so much fun snow skating, and I was, you know, meeting a bunch of new people that like became super good friends of mine. So I was still really enthusiastic about filming and snow skating in general. Mm-hmm. But the Premiere, that was another thing. Like the Premiere videos kind of, I don't even know if they had a video after, I guess they probably did. That first year Michelle was running it, but then eventually it was like nobody's really putting together a video, you know? So it was mm-hmm. like I was still filming and I was still having a ton of fun, but I wasn't really necessarily focusing on filming a part because that was not really happening at that time.
Sure. Because, yeah, the last video that came out was White Contrast, I believe, and that was like, this was still a little bit before my time, but I remember it being like really delayed, and I think eventually Justin Majeski just like put it out there. Like you think he just uploaded it like a year after it was supposed to come out or something along those lines.
Yeah. So yeah. I forgot about, yeah. White Contrast. Justin Majeski was editing that. And so I was still really focused on filming that year. And then, cause like submission, that's like, I kind of touched on, that was the first year that Isaac and I had pro models. Mm-hmm. So we really were filming hard for that part. And, yeah, White Contrast. Yeah, but that was definitely when things were changing, and that's probably what added to the delay of the release.
Sure. So you ended up having three pro models. You had the first Spider one.
I had four.
Oh, so four pro models. Okay.
I had the Spider, and then I had the Dragon model.
Oh, that's right.
Isaac and I both had a dragon themed board, and then I'm not sure when Phil Smaggi's first pro model was, but it was around that time. Mm-hmm. And then the watercolor board, and then the last one was the one with the eyeball on it.
Yeah, the 07081. So
I ended up having four, and you were asking about royalty checks and stuff like that. they kind of got less and less.
Sure.
As years went on, unfortunately.
Sure. And I imagine 07, 08, they probably dropped off pretty starkly with the launch of Ambition. And I think maybe it was Icon the next year. I can't remember the year that they launched. But either way, with Ambition starting to make boards that year, I'm sure that had a pretty big impact on your royalties and Premiere as a whole.
Yeah. And I mean, things, the regime changed again. It went from Michelle to a gentleman named Tim. I can't remember his last name, but he ended up taking over and managing the team for a winter. And he had no experience in the action sports realm. And he came from like, because at that, I think what ended up happening is Andy sold Premiere to the parent company that was kind of behind the scenes in the beginning, but like he gave total control over to them. And
this was the Yoshida group, right? That made that sauce that you would buy at Sam's Club back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, my parents were all about that stuff, man. I ate a lot of that on chicken growing up.
Yeah. The Yoshida group, of course. Yeah. They had a huge network of companies and, Tim ended up coming from, I think they had a golf bag company. So he went from like running the golf bag company to the snow skate team.
It was casual just, like, transition.
Yeah, it was just, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. And like I said, I was definitely hurt by Andy leaving, but I understood it. But then I just kind of saw that, you know, maybe the future that I was envisioning with snow skating was not going to happen. So I was still, like I said, I was still having a lot of fun, and like all the X Games trips were just so awesome because every year, like more and more people would come, and like that's the thing I really like took out of those years of snow skating was just the friendships that I made. But I kind of saw that, you know, Premiere was on the way out, and like the people that they were bringing in didn't really care too much about snow skating. So like if you don't have people that are passionate running it, then eventually the company's going to fall off. And like you said, that's when Ambition was just getting started, and Matt and Jared plays were starting Icon, and so Premiere was kind of losing some steam. And
was there ever a thought that you would maybe try to keep snow skating and maybe like reach out to Blay or plays or someone and try to maybe transition to a different team?
It's actually very interesting because I was thinking about this earlier today, and at the time when Premiere was kind of on its way down, Alex Blaze and I started talking on MSN Messenger a bunch.
All snow skaters use MSN, man. I don't know, like unwritten code or something, but literally everybody we have on is communicated on MSN back in the day.
It's crazy to think about, but we were all in contact back then. But I was just thinking about this. Alex kind of reached out to me, and he was kind of picking my brain on kind of the inside scoop of like what had happened to Premiere. And he was telling me that he wanted to start this new company. So this was before anything was ever released. And we just kind of were chatting, and like I would tell him about like what I saw from the inside and like what I would do differently if I was running a company. And like, we just kind of chatted a little bit, but at that time I was also, like I said, I knew there wasn't really a future for me per se in snow skating. And also at this time, like I said, you know, Isaac was such an eye opener in the beginning, like just kind of humble you and show you like where you stand in terms of like who's really pushing the sport.
He was
like
amazing.
Isaac was the originator. Like he's kind of like Rodney Mullen in my mind. But then once Phil came along, it was just like, you know, this is a whole nother thing. And I saw the direction that snow skating was going, and I saw the handrails and the stair sets and the skateboarding influence that was coming in. And I knew I was never going to be able to push it like those guys. And I was honest with Alex. I was like, I'm not really dedicating myself to snow skating anymore. And, but I was still like super down to help him with anything he needed. And, it was pretty funny though, cause actually when Ambition first started and they were filming for True Color, they were planning on filming for True Color, I had just graduated from high school, and I ended up going to college in Hawaii at the University of Hawaii.
Oh.
So I was the furthest thing away from snow skiing. Like I was on the beaches in Waikiki, and I was like messaging Alex over MSN. And he was asking me about like if he should put this guy on the team, or like I don't even remember the specifics of what we were talking about. But like I was in Hawaii, and I was still like just messaging snow skaters about like this and that. And he ended up telling me that, you know, they were going to be filming for this new video, and he actually started asking me if I wanted to come to Quebec, and like, yeah, he was kind of hinting at if I wanted to join the team, then you know they would have a spot, and if I wanted to come film, like I'm more than welcome. And I was like, this is when, you know, Phil Smaji was going over to Ambition, and I ended up deciding to like go to Quebec on that first filming trip. And I told him, I was completely upfront with him. I said, you know, I haven't stepped foot on a snow skate in a long time. Like, don't expect much, but like, I'd love to come hang out with my friends and like, you know, see this new transition into like what snow skating is becoming. Mm-hmm. So I flew back from Hawaii to Colorado over Christmas. And then I went to Quebec for like a week and a half or something like that. I actually flew to Vermont, met up with Alex Crowcroft and Nick Stefani.
Okay.
And I think Phil flew in too. And then we got a van and we drove. Alan Gerlach was there, and like a couple of my, you know, my best friends that I'd made through snow skating. And it was the last real like snow skating trip that I went on. And we drove up to Quebec, and of course the first place that we stopped, like the first spot that we go to film, was that Mount Royal rail.
Oh, it's, like, yep,
super famous for snowboarding. And I was like, holy shit, like you guys are doing rails this size now? Like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is not the snow skating I remember at all. And you know, the whole Quebec crew was there, and like I said, like the Vermont boys, and then Phil, Alan, and myself. And there must have been like 14 snow skaters or something like that, and we all went to this Mount Royal rail, and it was like, I don't know if it's like a big 16 or something like that. It looked like a 20 stair handrail. And I was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this is like what people are doing these days. And, Phil and Alan were the only guys that started trying to hit this rail.
Of course.
If anybody else was trying, like, I forgot, like, I'm sorry, but they were the two that were charging, and they were like, I think Alan was trying to front board and Phil was trying to like back 50-50 right out the gate. And I was like sitting around. It was at night. It was so cold. And I was coming, like I said, I was coming from Hawaii. And I'm like, huge transition from Hawaii to Quebec at night.
Totally.
And I'm freezing my ass off watching these guys. And I'm like, nobody else is trying the rail. So I was like, man, screw it. I'm going to try it. So I picked up my board. At this time, like, they all had extreme grip. And like, I didn't know what extreme grip was. So I was like on the super slick board, and like, I just started going for it, and I must have tried the rail maybe 20 times, and I don't know if the footage exists or not. I know Phil and I were trying to find it because it was so funny. I must have fallen on my ass and my tailbone and my ribs, barely like almost hitting my head on this thing. Like, I was going for it, but I was falling like harder and harder every time. And I ended up getting so sore from that first session that I could barely step foot on a snow skate the rest of the trip. So I was like, I felt so bad because I was out there. They're like, you know, trying to change the game, trying to like come up with this legendary video and like doing all this, like all this, these amazing spots. And I'm just sitting there like, man, I can barely walk. Like, I got killed by that rail. So somewhere out there, I don't know, maybe somebody's got some footage, but like, I think I made it halfway down the rail once early on. So I was like, oh, I could probably do this. And then no, not even close, just hurting myself over and over.
And you still tried it like 20 plus times and like not even getting close. That's crazy.
Yeah. Close one time maybe. And then the rest were just brutal falls.
Oh, and that's funny.
Yeah, that was kind of like I knew at that point, like just like spending enough time around Phil, just how like incredible of a snow skater he was, and like Alan and those guys, like I knew I wasn't going to be pushing it like them. Mm-hmm. But it was super fun to like have one more trip with those guys, even if I was just on the sideline freezing my ass off, barely able to walk.
For sure. Now, I've heard through the grapevine from Alan, Phil, and the like that these True Color filming trips in Quebec were pretty crazy party-wise. Do you have any stories of what you and the Snow Skate boys were doing when you were not filming snow skating?
Yeah, well, I since I was so sore from that first rail, like I could barely walk, so you know what was I going to do in the freezing cold conditions other than drink? Like, I had to start drinking, so I was probably a really bad influence on the partying side of that trip. And looking back on it, I feel kind of a little bit bad because like a lot of those guys were super focused and like I said, trying to change snow skating in general and like mm-hmm. film this legendary video, and I was just out there like. Yeah, I was having a ton of fun. I mean, half the guys were with me. Like, we went out and we, I think, let's see here, probably myself and then Alex Crowcroft was quite the influence as well. But, I mean, Phil and Alan and most of the guys went out. Josh Seguin. But, yeah, we had a couple of nights out there that were pretty wild. The craziest night was we ended up going to some club, and it was myself, Phil, Alan. I think Alan was there. Alex Crowcroft was definitely there. Nick Stefani was definitely there. Josh Seguin was definitely there. But we ended up going out, and yeah, I got quite inebriated, and we were just I was just trying to hit on the French Canadian girls, but like
sure.
they might have spoke English, but they were pretending like they didn't. So it was like this very interesting dynamic of like I don't know, like I don't even know what I was saying, but like there's some pictures. Like I don't have Facebook anymore, but there used to be some pictures up there that were just from that trip specifically and that night. And yeah, we were having some fun for sure. A couple of the girls were liking it towards the end, but yeah, I just remember I was like, dude, none of these girls speak English. Like, I know we're in Quebec, but like they gotta speak some English, but I think they were probably fucking with me in the beginning. But that was a lot of fun for sure.
Was that the same night as the Josh Segui hair story?
Oh, I don't know which story you're talking
about.
Oh
boy. Okay. We're gonna have Josh on soon, or at least we're gonna try. I'll leave the story for him to tell, but
Oh yes. No. Yeah, that was the night.
Okay, you remember that?
I'm remembering the pictures that yeah. people were thinking. Yeah. That was me and Josh and Nick and Alex, that was probably us four that stayed out the latest. I think some people probably went home, but yeah, we were out there till the wee hours of the night. Yes, the hair story, I'll let him tell it because I don't remember specifics, but I remember laughing my ass off and just like, yeah, that was wild. And bad hangover the next day too.
Oh, I imagine.
Course, like frigid temperatures, you know, we would go to like the Olympic Stadium the next day, and like the guys who had stayed in to like sleep, they were ready to go in the morning, and I'm like, oh man, probably shouldn't have gone out that hard last night, but that was a fun trip for sure.
Oh, that's great. So when you're in Quebec, are you totally done with Premier at this point? Like no more contracts, like trying to ride Ambition? Okay, so how did the end of Premier come about? Was it as easy as saying, hey, I'm going to go to college in Hawaii, I'm done? Or was it like, you know, them flaking out with new management? Or how did that go down?
It was just kind of a mutual decision. And yeah, I think I just let them know. I think they were, because at that point, they actually stopped making pro models altogether.
Oh, okay.
I remember some email chains going back and forth, like they were thinking about doing pro models, but they weren't sure and they weren't ready to commit to another round. And I was up front with them, and I just told them that, you know, I'm focusing on other things, and yeah, I was going to college, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just kind of a mutual decision, nothing ugly or anything like that,
but sure.
that's kind of how it went down.
Gotcha. But yeah, it's cool that Blay gave you the opportunity and, you know, brought you out to Quebec and is like, hey, let's film. You can ride these boards. Let's see what happens, you know? That's really cool.
I was always like, I could tell from the get-go how passionate he was. And
he's the best dude.
Yeah. And I tried to give the best input that I could with, like, you know, those original stages where he was just planning on, you know, starting the company. And I knew from the get-go that he was going to be successful and that Ambition had a really good thing going. And since the original company, Premier, was fading away, you know, there was all this opportunity for these companies like Ambition and Icon to start up. And I remember, like, Icon as well, Matt and Jared and their father, like, they sent me a snow skate early on, and like,
cool,
I tested that out. So, like, I was still involved, just, you know, because I had made these friends over the years, but I also knew that I wasn't really gonna be pushing the sport like these other guys. So my time had passed, you know. I had quite the experience with snow skating up to that point. I was, like, very appreciative for everything that had happened, but I was also, like, you know, my time had come to an end. But I was super excited to, like, see what was going to happen with Ambition and some of my friends. You know, like, Phil and Alan became two of my best friends through snow skating, and, like, I knew those guys were going to be successful, and I knew I was just as excited as anybody to see True Color and see what was going to happen down the road.
Totally.
With them.
But it's cool that you kind of left snow skating, like, you were out of it for a while, you know, you were going to school in Hawaii, but at the same time you stayed into it, like, not just, you know, going on that trip to Quebec with, you know, the Ambition guys, but you were also still going to, like, the Midwest Open event. So, you know, what kept you interested, and how did you make time for that when you're going to school in Hawaii too?
Well, I actually, so I only went to Hawaii for one semester.
Oh, okay.
I ended up not doing particularly well in my classes, and I spent a lot more time on the beach than in the classroom.
Okay, I gotcha.
I didn't really know what I was going to, like, be doing with my life at that point.
Okay.
So I decided to regroup and head back to Colorado.
Gotcha.
So I transferred to Boulder, and I went to school in Boulder for a couple years. And meanwhile, even though, you know, hands had changed at Premier, they were still doing the park at X Games.
Okay.
And since my parents' house was in Aspen, I opened my doors to anybody who wanted to come those later years. Because what ended up happening is that the first year that Tim took over, he came out to X Games and they rented a gigantic house in Aspen. And, like, I don't know how much money they must have thrown at that, but, like, I gave him a chance, and, like, I gave them a chance, and, like, I wanted to still be a part of Premier just because, you know, I had so many friends on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that X Games that he came out there, all the guys were out there, and, like, it still looked like maybe they were going to be trying to salvage what was left of Premier and, like, you know, listen to the riders and stuff. So I was still, like, still open to everything. But yeah, after that year, that was the last year that they actually did a house at X Games.
Okay.
But there was still a snow skate park. So what ended up happening is I ended up, you know, I was going to school in Boulder, so I would come back for X Games, and then I would have everybody stay here who wanted to stay here.
Oh, cool.
And the thing that kept me involved was just, like, my friendships with people. And, you know, Phil and I hit it off immediately. We became, like, instantly really close friends. Same with Alan and
mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of those guys, I mean, so many people came here to Aspen throughout the years for X Games. It was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's so many names, I can't even name them all. But yeah, the friendships that I established was definitely what kept me involved. Even though I wasn't fully involved with snow skating, I would still, you know, go to Midwest Open to see Phil and everybody. And, like, the Quebec thing was all Alex, and I'm glad I got to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of see what was happening with Ambition. But yeah, I was just staying a little bit involved just because of my friends. And, like, you know, I would still talk with Phil and Alan about, like, what they were doing, and forever basically. So even though I wasn't committed to snow skating, I was always a fan of it. and I liked being, you know, able to go to these Midwest Open experiences and stuff and just kind of keep in touch with everybody, essentially.
Now, going back to the X Games, you know, we pride ourselves on the research we do for this podcast.
The Wet Sox R&D department.
Yes. And one of the most interesting things, I think, going back to what you're just talking about in some of those later gears of the X Games, I think you're our only guest who has broken or set a Guinness World Record. We have the page open right here.
Awesome.
Just Max Hilty completed 14 kickflips on his snow skateboard in 30 seconds at the Winter X Games 14 in Aspen, Colorado, January 29, 2010.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, 2010. So that was a couple years after I was not on Premier anymore. And I'd already been to Hawaii, and now I was going to school in Boulder. And yeah, that was one of those years that the snow skate park was still set up, but the Premier really wasn't providing housing for any of those guys. And like I said, I opened my doors and had a bunch of guys crash here. And yeah, the world records thing, that was kind of, that was like super random. I think at that point, because at some point Premier stopped sponsoring the park entirely.
Okay.
And a new company called Fuse Snow Skates took responsibility for that, but still a couple guys still wanted to come out to X Games because it was so much fun and there was still a snow skate park. And like at that point, like Phil and Alan and I think Matt and Jared were still coming out, and like a bunch of the guys were still like and so enthusiastic about snow skating, so they wanted to come out that year. And I said, yeah, of course. I think like Kaylin Weeb and Kyle Pigou, sorry if I butchered your guys' names, but they came out, Max Konopatsky and Bjorn. And I mean, we still had like a solid crew of snow skaters, but like, unfortunately, the park was kind of going downhill.
Sure.
Fuse guys didn't really, their snow skates were actually like, it was like a skateboard deck. It was kind of like a bi-deck, but instead of one ski, it was like four mini skis, like wheels, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an entirely different type of snow skating. And the guy who ran it, he was super nice, but the park kind of went downhill around that time.
Sure.
But randomly, the world records, the Guinness people showed up at the park one day, and they were like, we're just traveling around X Games, like trying to break world records. They're like, what do you... They set up like an ollie bar, so we'd have like an ollie competition, and of course Phil like just destroyed everyone in that. Like he was on a whole other planet in terms of not only his tricks but his pop was just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So he set that easily. I think it like the last couple of rounds it was just him. And he was just like personally like setting the bar higher and higher, literally. And then, so then after that happened, I think they did farthest ollie too, and he won that one for sure as well. And I like to pride myself on my jumping ability, but like he was on a whole nother level. So he set those, and then after that, like the guy from Guinness was super nice, but he was like, "All right, like let's do one more. Like what else could we do?" And like somebody came up with the idea of like most kickflips in 30 seconds, and. Luckily for me, Phil was like, didn't even try it. So there should be an asterisk next to my record. Cause like, I mean, 14, like that's whatever. That's pretty good. But like, yeah, Phil wasn't attempting it. So it was like, it's probably one of the only Guinness World Records in there where there was only like 10 or 15 people trying it. So it was like, I kind of got lucky with that, but to this day, I don't think anybody's tried to break it. So that record definitely still stands.
That's amazing. I know Phil had his photo in the book. Were you actually pictured in that Guinness book that came out the next year?
Yeah, Phil and I both.
Wow.
We had our pictures there. And it's pretty funny because like on that page, you know, there's also like, I think Sean White set the record for most X Games medals or something like that. And he doesn't have his picture, just for so that was another like super cool moment that I didn't even expect to come from snow skating that even happened a couple years after I really like didn't even stopped filming and like didn't have any sponsors or anything, but I still got that world record, so that was very cool for sure.
That's insane.
Now, not long after that, they stopped featuring snow skating at X Games. Is that true? Do you know much about that or how that?
Yeah, I think that year might have been the last park that they set up. Maybe the next year Fuse did something, but at that point, the park had gone downhill. The park had gone from something really special, you know, those 2003 to 2007 years, you know, like there was those years, there was a big draw in terms of like crowds when we did our competitions, then also like just the participation, because Premier was, you know, sending so many boards, you could do those demos and it was really thriving. But then, yeah, slowly over time, as Premier kind of got out of it and Fuse took over, it just eventually disappeared. And I remember telling Alex Blaze when he was like first starting Ambition, I was trying to tell him, you know, like, I don't know how much it costs to do the vendor at the X Games, but like I thought there was a real opportunity to kind of pick up where Premier had left off,
right?
Maybe capitalize on it and kind of keep that going, but it didn't happen. But I know he did a lot of other things, you know, kind of in Canada and around Quebec. But yeah, I was kind of sad to see the X Games snow skate park go from what it was to kind of just fall apart. But that's how things go.
Yep, it is what it is. But since your departure from snow skating, if you will, you've been up to a heck of a lot of other stuff. I mean, you've been filming trick shot videos, you've been on the Golf Channel, you've been trying to do the long drive thing. I mean, you've been doing a ton since then.
Yeah, I kind of fell into all that. So really what ended up happening is after I got out of snow skating and I graduated from high school and I started going to college, I started playing golf to kind of pass the time, because not only did I give up snow skating, I also kind of had to give up skateboarding because at that point, when I started getting a little disheartened about Premier and the direction of snow skating, you know, like I said, I was still really happy with like just like the friendships that I had and stuff, but I was spending a lot more time skateboarding, and that's kind of when I got a lot better at skateboarding. But then it got to a tipping point where, you know, once you reach a certain level of skateboarding ability, you also put yourself at risk for some injuries. And I started racking up some injuries. And eventually, when I was going to school in Boulder, I would still go skateboarding every once in a while. And I would go snow skating if Phil came to town or Alan came to town. But I needed to do something else. And I played a lot of team sports growing up, but like you can't really do those on your own. So I had been exposed to golf when I was younger because my grandpa was a really good golfer, but I kind of thought it was too boring. But then I was just taking summer classes in Boulder one year and I was like, I'm going to give golf another shot. And I just got hooked. And that's when I was like 19 and I just kind of ran with it. And that's how I got into long drive, kind of because I started working at golf courses and my bosses started telling me, you know, long drive like is something you should try to like look into. So I got into that, and then the trick shots, that just kind of, I started seeing YouTube videos, or I would see Insta. I was like, I hated social media. I didn't have Instagram. I didn't have a Facebook, but like I would just see these videos of these trick shots and I was like, I think I can do that stuff. And like it ended up being a really cool way for me to kind of come like utilize some of the sports I loved growing up and also like tap into that creative side of being able to like film a trick. You know, that's what I grew up with, whether it was snow skating or snowboarding or skateboarding.
Right.
And without that, I was like, I kind of found this outlet to do tricks essentially, but just use other sports. And that's kind of how I got into posting trick shots and stuff. Kind of just happened on that randomly.
I wanted to ask if you monetize that, because I always see the videos. I don't know if you're, are you like getting, how does that benefit you? I mean, it's really cool, but I mean, I'm just wondering out of curiosity.
I mean, honestly, it's like, it's more for just my enjoyment and just like being able to like go out there and just do a little bit of the sports that I did growing up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my videos have been featured on TV a bunch, and like, and what I kind of, what I'm at the point at right now is like a bunch of companies love sending me free products because they want me to use like whatever they're selling in my videos so that like they can get free promotion. And early on I was accepting clothing companies left and right and stuff, but like I kind of steered away from that because like I don't know, like how many clothing companies can you rep? I don't know. It was just so I'm not really monetizing anything directly right now. I have sold a couple of my videos to like Unilad and WorldStar. Bought a video of mine. Like,
WorldStar, no nice. Way.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So like there's like a couple things that I've been able to monetize with, but to be honest, I haven't really spent much time trickshotting these last couple of months. I'm gonna try and get back into it because like
there are people
out there who have like legit sponsorships and who, you know, are able to make money off of trickshotting and stuff, and that's like crazy and incredible. Mm-hmm. I haven't really dedicated myself enough to like being on social media that much. It's kind of more for my enjoyment, but we'll see in this next year if I can figure that out a little better.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, man. I'd be stoked to see more of those. Those are nuts. I mean, I've been playing golf all my life and, you know, just doing little stuff like, you know, bouncing, you know, balls on wedges between your feet, flipping the club a little bit and whatnot. But like what you do just takes it to another level. Like it's like watching like a really good skateboarder or something. Like even though you can like kind of do that thing, you can't fathom how that person does that thing. And that's how I feel like watching those trick shot videos. Like they're just wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate the kind words a bunch. I mean, yeah, for me, it's really just been a fun way to like challenge myself. You know, I'll come up with a wild idea and I'll go out there and like, if I get close, then I know it's possible. And then it's just really, like I said, that mentality of landing a trick, like it's the same thing, you know, trying to get that shot. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And as I'm getting older, like it's, I'm at this point where it's like, if I don't do these things, like do these different sports, I might lose my ability. So like, it's a good way to kind of stay able and like stay loose, use your body, and just, yeah, come up with some ideas. That my whole thing right now is like try and do stuff that you don't have never seen before, which can be hard because there's so much stuff out there on the internet. But like,
right,
that's kind of what I pride myself on, is like coming up with these ideas that nobody else has even tried, or if they have tried, haven't been able to do. So
yeah,
we'll see. I got a bunch of ideas. I just haven't really had time lately, but I'll definitely be getting back out there this next year, see what I can do.
Yeah, it's cool, man. And I imagine it's nice, you know, trying a trick, if you will, via trick shots, and not having to worry about, you know, breaking a bone or tearing a muscle like you would, you know, skateboarding or snow skating, you know what I mean?
For sure. And that's like I said, I'm kind of really glad or really lucky that I kind of found trick shots, as crazy as it seems. But like, yeah, I'm able to like challenge myself without really putting myself at risk too much.
Mm-hmm.
I have incorporated skateboarding a little bit, and like take some boards to the shins and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy.
For sure.
How long can you drive a ball, too? You're talking about long drives. Like how far are you putting that back?
Well, two summers ago, I started entering a couple of competitions. Like I said, just because my head professionals at these golf courses I worked at kind of like geared me towards it. And without any training and kind of just going for it on my own, two summers ago, I was able to get a ball 395 yards.
Holy cow.
So that's my furthest in competition so far, is 395. In training, I've hit one 420 for a little bit over 420 is my furthest.
Blazing.
Unreal.
Yeah. And then, so this past year, I actually was hoping to take it a little bit more seriously, and I actually sought out some coaching, and I moved from Colorado to Georgia to first be with my girlfriend who was going to school down there, but also I found a coach in Florida. And he was the one who told me I had like real potential in long drive. And he kind of put me on a training program, because if you watch long drive competitions, most of those guys are gigantic. They're like former football players or former baseball players. And I'm not small. I'm like 6'1", but I'm kind of on the smaller side when it comes to those guys. So he put me on this crazy weight training program, and I ended up actually developing some knee problems, and I ended up getting an MRI, and they told me that I had some cartilage issues that was likely due to wear and tear. So probably going back to my skateboarding and snow skating days is when I started, and basketball, soccer, everything. But so now I can't really do that training program that he put me on, unfortunately.
Sure.
But I'm starting to kind of incorporate some other strength training and weight training that doesn't put as much stress on my knee.
Sure.
So I didn't even get to compete last summer because I was just too injured, which was really a big letdown. But I'm actually kind of excited with what I've been able to do in the gym lately, and really eager to kind of see what where I stand this upcoming season. So I haven't really looked at the schedule yet, but I'm definitely going to try and get back out there and see what I got.
Yeah, that'll be awesome, man. I wish you the best of luck in long drive going forward, because that's crazy.
Thank you.
What specs, we're going to turn this into a golf podcast for a little bit, but what are the specs on your long drive driver versus, like, you know, a normal driver that you would take out? Like, instead of your standard 45 inches, you know, 9.5 degrees, whatever it is, what are you using?
For sure. Sorry to all the people out there.
Hit that fast forward 30 seconds a few times, probably, on your phone.
get it through quickly. But no, the long drivers are, you can use up to 48 inches. And so as your club length increases, your club head speed increases as well. So you use a 48-inch shaft instead of a 45-inch shaft, and then you also use like 5 degrees of loft is probably average for a long driver.
Wow.
And, you know, your typical driver is probably 8 to 9 degrees, something like that. So it's like, it's geared up for speed, but I mean, it's also crazy though, 'cause like I'll be at the driving range and I'll be hitting my long driver, and like guys want to try it left and right. And it's not automatic distance increase, because you also have to be able to hit it like correctly. So like the added length kind of adds some difficulty there. But once you get used to it, yeah, you should be able to hit it. I like to say, like, if I hit my regular driver as far as I can out here at Colorado, it's probably going like 360, 370.
Still, that's crazy.
Maybe 370, 380 if I'm doing really good that day. But yeah, with the long driver, 400, 420 in that range. So probably like 40 yards increase.
That's crazy.
On my maximum.
I can't even imagine hitting a driver like that. I mean, I hit it, you know, maybe 260, something like that, but I'm still using like a 10.5 degree. I don't hit the ball very high. So I feel like I couldn't get that thing more than like 15 yards off the ground. Be fun to mess around with and try to hit, but oh man, it sounds gnarly.
Yeah, I'm always like, you know, because yeah, like these guys trying to hit it, I let them try it out. But yeah, it's definitely a different swing completely.
Right.
But once you master it, it's a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, that's wild. But this has been sick, Max. We gotta wrap this up here pretty quick. But any thank yous or shout outs before we end the podcast?
Oh, just, you know, like, thanks to you guys for doing this and for allowing me to kind of relive some of those days that I haven't thought about in a long time.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
And yeah, just over the years, like, snow skating not only allowed me to travel and do these different competitions and demos and things that I would never be able to do, but the one thing I took out of snow skating the most was just like the friendships that I gained. And to this day, even though I'm so far removed from being a regular snow skater, I still keep in contact with a lot of these guys. And I consider, you know, guys like Phil and Alan some of my best friends, even though we might not see each other a bunch. Like, whenever we do, it's just right back to like our snow skating days. And like, that's what I took out of snow skating the most. And there's so many people too. I was like, I was going over it in my head and just like all the people that came out here for X Games and stayed at my house or like stayed at the Premier house, and like just those times are something that I cherish, and like it was just so special. So I'm just, yeah, thankful for you guys having this and letting me tap into some of my memories I haven't thought about in a while. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing these awesome stories. I mean, this has been great. So we can expect to see you on the Golf Channel going forward.
Yeah, so that's kind of hit or miss. You guys can check me out on Instagram. It's just my name, Max_Hilty. And yeah, even if you're not into golf, I got all sorts of stuff going on there. So
it's a sick account.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. I made it on SportsCenter one time, so that's another thing.
That's so wild.
That was actually a skateboarding basketball shot. So like,
that's right. I remember that one.
I'm not giving up on the trick shots at all. I'm just like, I got a bunch of crazy ideas, definitely some skateboarding ideas. And I don't know. We'll see where that goes, but just having fun with it for sure.
For sure, man. And, we'll be stoked to see what's next.
Maybe Golf Channel. Maybe I'll be on the long
drive. Yeah.
Dude, that'd be huge. There you go. Yeah.